This sermon, There Must Be a Heaven Somewhere, was preached by Dr. L.B. Hicks. Hicks served the church as pastor, evangelist, and district superintendent. He gave distinctive service as pastor at Chattanooga First Church and at Ashland, Kentucky First Church. But in every ministry assignment, Dr. Hicks was a Southern orator-style preacher with the passion of a camp meeting evangelist. His use of language and colorful illustrations made people eager to hear him preach. He was a churchman, having served as a member of the general board of the denomination for more than 20 years. He was born in Tennessee in 1913 and died in 1975.
Our scripture reading is taken from the first three verses of the 14th chapter of the Gospel according to St. John. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. The title assigned to the message, I believe by the Lord, there must be a heaven somewhere. Down across the days and the years of my ministry, I had longed for and sought for a message on heaven. I had heard the old preachers say that they, when they were boys, had heard preachers preach on hell till they were afraid to go there, and preach on heaven till they wanted to go there. But somehow a message on heaven had eluded my grip. I could preach messages that were scientific, and I could tell the length of the city, the breadth of it, and the height of it, and the square miles in it. I could analyze by using the commentaries the various foundation stones beneath the jasper walls. I could tell about the gates, four of them on every side, many things about heaven, but it grew technical and did not have what I felt a message on heaven ought to have. Until one morning, seated at the breakfast room table, Mrs. Hicks and the girls preparing for church, for it was on a Sunday morning, with an old envelope laying in front of me and a lead pencil, the Holy Spirit seemed to say to my heart, I'm going to give you that message on heaven you've been longing for so long. I took the 7 points of it down in lead pencil, went to the pulpit that morning and delivered the message. The message was broadcast that morning, and the people of the city heard it. The next day on the street and in business establishments, they said, are you the new preacher in the church at a certain location? I heard you preach yesterday on heaven, and it thrilled my heart. Some of them had warm tears course down their cheeks as they listened to the message. It was not mine. It was the message the Holy Ghost had given. Still his for 27 years ago. When I started out on that creek toward heaven, I knew there was a heaven somewhere. My hungry heart had longed for it since a little lad. I'd wanted it. Insecurity and being in a home without a mother. I wanted a place where there would be warmth and beauty, where there'd be lastingness and no tears, where heartaches would be forever banished, and where suffering would be done away. Though I had a good home in grandmother's old home back in Williamson County of this lovely state, it was something lacking because of a mother's love, and I longed for heaven since as far back as I can remember. There are 7 things about heaven that intrigue me tonight. Number 1, heaven will be ready. Number 2, heaven will be resplendent. Number 3, heaven will be rapture. Number 4, heaven will be restoration. Number 5, heaven will be real. Number 6, heaven will be reunion. And number 7, heaven will be right. Those lines, in that outline, the Holy Ghost gave me. To begin with, heaven will be ready. Thank God for that. There'll be no loitering outside the gate, no waiting for an admittance to gain. There'll be nothing wanting when old Zion swings round the sheltered cove and nudges her figurehead against the golden bejeweled wafts of that fair land. When the gangplank drops down and the redeemed of all ages stream down it to be welcomed by heaven's glorious welcoming committee, there'll be nothing wanting, nothing lacking, no evictions to make, no rent to pay. There'll be nothing to do but walk inside a mansion on Hallelujah Avenue that's been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. St. Stephen got a glimpse of that when on the streets of Jerusalem, and as he witnessed to the Sanhedrin, the people became so incensed they ran on him and gnashed on him with their teeth and stoned him. But while his bones brake and the skin tore apart and the bruises mounted till his body was a bleeding, beaten whale, he looked up and said, I see heaven open and I see Jesus on the right hand of God. Thank God there is a lovely land, a sinless summer land of the soul, where there will be everything correct and no waiting, no wanting, no longing, no desire, but everything will be real, for Jesus certainly will be there. What I'm trying to say is heaven will be ready, and if you were to die tonight, it would cause no consternation there. You'd suddenly and certainly go there if you're right, and a resurrection robe to fit you's tailored already and waiting for you in a vault where the moths can never corrupt and in a land where thieves break not in to steal. Heaven will be ready. Number two, heaven will be resplendent. I've seen some of the beauties of landscape and the loveliness of nature. I've seen the tall crags of Kentucky's mountain poke themselves with their angry fist against the breast of the storm cloud. I've seen them pluck the thunderbolts from among them and fling them down the ravines, while sparks of lightning danced asunder and the reverberation of a million cannons rattled off the hillsides of the old bluegrass state. I've seen the snow fall in Kansas. I've seen the maples shaken in New England. I've seen the rolling ocean driven by a wild rain of a hurricane. I've seen the lovely beauty of the flowers. I've walked and stolen a kiss from the wild rose that blushed by a Tennessee roadside in June. I've seen the beauty of the daisies tacking down the green carpets of Tennessee's hillside. I've seen the loveliness of the mountains covered with snow, while every spruce pine turned to a Christmas tree and draped itself with icicles mirrored in the starlight around it. I've seen the beauties of the land, and I've seen the beauties of the nature. But the greatest thing of all, once inside those gates of pearl, with solid golden streets stretching out and long shining avenues of pure gold and beauty, in a city not made with hands, heaven will be resplendent beyond anything that anyone has ever known in the days gone by. The third thing about heaven is, it's going to be rapture. We use that word rapture to express the deepest passions of a blessed heart. Once delivered from the other side of the article of death, once beyond the last struggle of the death rattle, once beyond the bluing fingernails and the coagulation of the blood, once beyond the halting breath, once beyond the sticking pang of pain, once beyond it all, there will be rapture, rapture indeed. I'm talking about that homecoming morning when God's saints shall scream inside and stack their crosses on the parade grounds of glory and walk them down and form in line while the great captain of our salvation shall give us each a glittering crown. Heaven is going to be a raptured place indeed. As a poor lad in the hills of Tennessee, I worked in the tobacco fields all day from early sun till late at night, the dew and the tobacco gum commingling on my overalls till they'd almost stand alone. I walked a mile and a half and 2 miles home from the field when I'd come round the hill and see the old southern home nestled like a jewel on the green banks of two big hills that came down falling and forming an indenture and a hollow. Tall cedar trees that in my childish fancy seemed to reach their green fingers to scrape a bit of the ultramarine from the skies, stood like starry sentinels in front of that home. I'd see a yellow flickering light in the window. I'd know my old aunt had a lovely meal ready. There'd be beans with potatoes cooked on top of them and okra lying on them. There would be also butter as liquid gold oozing down through southern corn muffins. There'd be fried meat with an aroma kin to something from another world. I've dreamed of that home many a time in the years gone by. It's lost its loveliness, weather-beaten boards hang on the walls. But just over yonder, when the last battle's fought, and the last sermon's preached, and the last farewell is said, I shall rest in heaven forever. I want to meet people there. I want to meet that old preacher that buried me in baptism in Old Lepus Fort Creek when I was a little lad. I want to meet that old preacher that preached me under conviction by the wonderful work of God. I'd like to meet all the penitents I've seen praying through across an old-fashioned Methodist and Nazarene mourner's bench. I'd like to shake hands with Dr. Henry Clay Morrison and a lot of the others I've known in other days. But when I've seen Jesus and praised him for a million years, I want to hunt my mother that slept beneath the silent sod of a Tennessee hillside for 15 long years now. I never am under the influence of the Holy Ghost like I feel tonight, that I wouldn't like to tell the angels, when you waft yourself like plummeting meteors in reverse back to heaven to report on this service tonight, would you tell my mother that her prayer was answered and God made a holiness preacher out of her lad, and that he's preaching second blessing holiness until God calls him home? That shall be my theme, God letting me live, and I'd like to turn my hospital bed to a pulpit to tell men and women of the saving, sanctifying grace of a great God whose blood can cleanse from every sin. The fourth thing about heaven, it will be restoration. The kids were playing hopscotch along it. They had their planks laid out. They were jumping with a long stride. But leaning dejectedly with a wanton look in his eye was a little lad. There were braces on the side of his feet. There was a crutch under either arm. He'd been stricken by paralysis. He'd never been able to play hopscotch with the rest of them. I mused as I looked on him and thought of that next land where if he lived right and made it home to heaven, that God Almighty would give him silver sticks on golden pavements and let him enjoy the things there denied him down here. I tell you, heaven will be restoration. There'll be no tap of a cane. There'll be no crunch of a crutch. There'll be no tears to stain and tarnish those golden streets. Never a sigh will be heard. There'll only be joy and victory, for heaven will be restoration forever. Heaven will be restoration, where every wrong will be righted, where God Almighty will be in his splendor, and where crooked limbs will be straightened, sight will be given to blinded eyes, the stammering tongue shall be loosed forever, and we shall be there. I've never been able to get all the preaching out of me that God put in me when he called me to preach, but if I ever get to heaven and walk down those glorious avenues, and they give me a chance to preach, maybe I can get it out then in the language that will be immortal and language that can describe the realities of divine grace. It's not make-believe, it's a real thing. I'm anticipating a glorious, real heaven. That brings me next to this idea. Heaven not only will be ready and resplendent and rapturous and a restoration city, but heaven will be real, R-E-A-L, real. I do not share the idea that heaven is a state. To me, it's a geographically located place in divine geography and can be found out there in the universe. I'm looking for a real heaven. When I was a little lad reared up back in the hills, I could only hear the train whistle, too far to hear the bell. I heard the mighty chug of the Big Mo girls as they shut their pistons full of steam. I've heard the rattle of the freight wheels on a lonely winter night when the air was crisp and cold. Up by the old spring, there was a tree with a seat in it that I made like was a locomotive. I rang the bell and blew the whistle and pulled the throttle and drew in imagination across the prairies and around the defiles of the mountains, a long sweeping passenger train as it rolled in toward a big city. When I became a man and became an evangelist in the Church of the Nazarene, living in Tullahoma, Tennessee, one afternoon about dark, Mrs. Hicks drove me down to the railroad station. The big Dixie Flagler with two big steam engines tied onto her came in with a hiss of steam and a grind of brake and a floor spark. I stepped on and no sooner had taken my seat than I felt the surge of power as she made for the mountains. Soon she climbed them and buried herself in a dark tunnel. She shot across the mountain and by Chattanooga and swept by Atlanta and headed for the Southland, where the palm trees stretch out like a maiden drying her hair in the wind. I felt the surge of power as a great iron hoof fought the silver rails, and we swept across Georgia's flatland. It wasn't make-believe. I wasn't playing train that night. It was real, and I was riding on the Dixie Flagler for Miami and a revival campaign. Saw the first aeroplane as a little boy that I ever saw high in the air. My cousins and I made us one on the ground and tried to pretend we were flying, but one night I walked down the long runway at Long Beach, California, and boarded a big four-motor giant. I tightened my seat belts in the silver moon of California, cast a glint across her big silver wings. She ran down the limp ramp and preened those wings in the night air. She rolled with a jet of flame from her big motors. Soon she flew high over the Salton Sea and disappeared across the deserts of Arizona and New Mexico, and the next morning dropped down in a Texas town and thence on to Nashville and Chattanooga. It wasn't make-believe. I was flying that day. Once inside those gates of pearl, heaven will not be make-believe, but it will be real as a train ride and also as an aeroplane ride. And when my feet walk down the golden street, I'll not be dreaming, it'll not be make-believe. It will be real, and heaven will be wonderful on that grand day. I'm looking for a real heaven. This thing called holiness is a little heaven to go to a big heaven in. Next thing about heaven, it's going to be reunion. I suppose most of us look forward toward homecoming. Rather sad for those of us whose hair's turning a bit to silver. The faces we once loved are gone forever. On the front seats of this church, people who shouted me on in other days are now praising God in heaven. It's going to be wonderful to meet Brother Crow. It's going to be wonderful to meet several of those people that have gone on. I buried lots of them, but I remember walking down the aisle one day in a little Methodist church. An old man who'd lost a government job from drinking and sin stood gripping the back of a seat under deep conviction. I slipped my arm around him and said, "Charlie, don't you want to come back to Jesus today and find the Redeemer?" Sobbing, he walked his way to a mourner's bench and got down on his knees. He prayed clear through, and God gloriously saved him. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and they said, "They need you down there." I went down and found him cold in death. His big teenage son at 18 stood by the casket, tears running down. Looked up wistfully at me and I said, "Con, your daddy was a good man. He got back to God and I saw him live it under pressure. He's somewhere in that lovely land. Be a good lad and you'll make it home." She said, "Bring me my baby around. I've gone down in the chilly valley of shadows to bring that child to life. Bring me my baby round." It hadn't lived but an hour or so before I went to the church to preach his funeral. They brought the little casket. The broken-hearted mother fingered its golden curls and kissed its blue fingers. My turn to go away to bury it. We're just over in heaven's land. There will be a reunion where mothers and babies and fathers and sons and husbands and wives and everyone will be brought together. Don't tell that mother, you'll not see your child alive. God Almighty will see to it that there's reunion. Tonight I was ordained to the ministry of the Church of the Nazarene in the McClellan Auditorium of Trevecca Nazarene College by Dr. H.V. Miller. Hillman Bernard sang the special in his high tenor voice. As he walked to the platform, they handed him a yellow sheet that was in the height of World War II. With trembling fingers, he broke the telegram open. His own boy had been killed in action. He put it in his pocket, didn't miss a step as he walked to the pulpit. He sang that song, "We'll All Be at Home Someday." The Holy Ghost came. Nobody knew the father's heart who had read the telegram. He sang under the unction of the Holy Ghost with tears streaming down his cheeks. "We'll all be at home someday." I must close now. By the climax and what I feel to be perhaps the highest point of the message, heaven will be right. Down here, not everything turns out well. One of these days, every wrong will be righted. One of these days, everything will be made correct. I hope I never face a goodbye in a church again, but there's going to be a heaven somewhere. There's a city up in heaven where the streets are shining gold and no storm clouds ever gather. In the Bible, we are told, there the skies are clear forever. They need no sun to shine in that land of wondrous beauty governed by the Lord divine. Every heartache, gloom, or shatter is forever done away. Perfect peace and joy and gladness are the order of the day. Every mystery there will vanish, and no tears shall dim the eye in that blessed land supernal, where no clouds will hide the sky. Let's keep on looking unto Jesus with our hearts set for that goal, where no storms of doubt or worry ever beat against the soul. If to God we are true and faithful, if we strive to make the grave, we shall reach that home eternal where the roses never fade. May I welcome you one day, my flock, inside the portals of heaven.